Welcome to My Father's House Podcast, Episode 153, Faith on the Go. Guest minister Tanya Schnitz delivered this message in the New Wine in New Wineskins series on October 11th, 2020.
Thank you, Jesus. Oh, how we love you. You deserve our love and our praise and our worship. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Just tell them what you're grateful for. Just thank them and love them. Thank you, Jesus, with your words. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your salvation. Thank you for your freedom in my life. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your strength. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Yes. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, Lord. You are a great deliverer. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Yes. Yes, Lord. You are the lifter of our heads. Thank you, Jesus. You are our best friend. You are our teacher. You are our comfort. Thank you, Jesus. We praise your name. We praise your name. Thank you, Lord. And everyone said,
Amen.
You can have a seat. Welcome to everyone. It's good to see your smiling faces. Welcome on Facebook, going live. I was joking this morning with the team that I was going to, you know, like the newscasters, like going live from my father's house in Fort Wayne, Indiana in 3, 2, 1. Okay, I think we're already on. Just silly today. Praise the Lord. You know, one thing before I get into what I wanted to share. We are on Facebook Live, so if you would, please try to remember to use the aisles so that we're not showing blocking and all that and showing our backsides and stuff to Facebook. So thank you. Okay, I have shared recently that I asked the Lord to minister to me in my sleep, and oh man, you got to be careful what you ask for, because, okay, so what I'm going to share, this is part two of Sarah's night ministry time, and more to come, Lord, thank you, bring it on. So this week, I don't even know what night it was, maybe Wednesday or Thursday night, it's not even a dream. I can't, maybe there was a dream around it, but all I know is that I was being ministered to by the Holy Spirit about, you have been redeemed from the curse of the law. You have been redeemed from the curse of the law. And I think Santos said, right, that maybe I spoke that out loud, because I was just, I mean, over and over, that was what he was ministering to my heart. Like, we read the word, we hear it, but it's another thing when the Holy Spirit himself ministers that to you and it comes alive in your heart. And it was becoming revelation to me. You have been redeemed from the curse of the law. Like, do you understand this? You know, and so, and the cool thing about that is, one of the cool things, it's all cool, but one of the cool things is that in that morning, whatever day it was, I was listening to a message about just that we've been redeemed from the curse of the law. And the minister was talking about Deuteronomy 28, that it lists out the blessings and the curses, right? And he was saying, but we've been redeemed from all of that. So part of what I want to share with you is that we need to be very careful about what we are taking in, right? When you put in good stuff, you get good stuff out, right? And so we need to give good seed to the Holy Spirit, because it was in there and God was like, well, she needs to have more of that. She needs to have that, actually the power behind that. She needs to really understand and know for certain that she has been redeemed from the curse of the law. And so that just, like, it was electrified to me in my sleep. Let's give the Holy Spirit good seed with what we're taking in with our eyes and our ears during the day, right? And so ask the Lord to minister to you while you sleep, and we'll have a whole bunch of more testimonies. So, I was receiving that truth, and I think it's for, I know it was for one other person, because along with that, and I've already shared it with this person, but I think it's for others as well, that just need a revelation of that. And I can speak this and plant the seed, and then you guys ask the Holy Spirit to electrify that and bring that alive to you. But along with that, you have been redeemed from the curse of the law. I mean, there was such excitement behind it when I was receiving that in my sleep. Was Colossians 2. And so I don't know how I didn't wake up in that very moment, because I mean, it was like a whole service going on here in my bed, but or how I didn't wake up Santos, but praise the Lord. But so in the morning, I like ran down the stairs and it's like, oh my gosh, what is Colossians 2? And so I actually started Colossians 1 and I read all of the books of Colossians, and I'm just waiting for like the whammy, you know, like I'm waiting for, oh, that's it. That's what it is. So I got the whammy when I got to Colossians 2, verse 13. And 13 through 15, it says, when you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive with Christ. Let me say that again. God made you alive with Christ. Even when we were dead, even when we were filthy and full of our sin, he made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sin. My Bible says all. Does your Bible say all, or your phone or whatever you're using? All of our sins, every one of them. He forgave us all our sins, having canceled the charge of our legal indebtedness. Woo-wee. He canceled all of that, right? So that means the devil has no legal right to come at us with any of these curses. He will try, and sometimes there's some open doors in our lives, and we need to shut those doors, right? And then we can deal with, you know, we can put this in the face of the devil and say, hey, I've been forgiven from all my sins. Jesus canceled the charge of all of it. It's been taken care of. So I shouldn't have to deal with any of those curses that are listed. And so, and I was reading over, you know, I went back and read in Deuteronomy 28. So you guys can, if you're looking for something to read in the Bible, that's good. Deuteronomy 28, it lists out the blessings and the curses. Oh my goodness. Okay, I just got to turn there. Okay, spirit of preach. We're talking about the spirit of preach. Oh boy, I know it's Tanya's turn today, and I'm not going to take it from her because it's her special day. But oh my goodness. All the blessings, those are so awesome. Read those. But then you get down to, right, the curses. Oh, Jesus. You read through those list of curses and you just go, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, that I've been redeemed from the curse of the law. Because starting in verse 20, the Lord, or 19, you will be cursed when you come in and cursed when you go out. That's the opposite of what you will be blessed when you come in and blessed when you come out, right? Or go out. The Lord will send on you curses, confusion, and rebuke in everything you put your hand to, until you are destroyed and come to sudden ruin because of the evil you have done in forsaking him. The Lord will plague you with diseases until he has destroyed you from the land you are entering to possess. The Lord will strike you with wasting disease, with fever and inflammation, with scorching heat and drought, with blight and mildew, which will plague you until you perish. The sky of your head will be bronze, the ground beneath you iron. The Lord will turn rain of your country into dust and powder. It will come down from the skies until you are destroyed. And the list goes on and on. I just wanted to read, give you a little taste of those, enough to go, blah, I don't want that. Enough to, you know, you take a taste of something and you don't like it and you say, no, thank you. Like, nope, not taking that. And so, and also to realize as you read this list, if you are dealing with any of these on that list, guess what? You've been redeemed from the curse of the law. He has forgiven you all your sins, right? From Colossians 2, 13. I didn't even get through that, did I? I didn't. Okay, having canceled the charge of the legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us. Like Jesus stepped in. He was our advocate. He paid all the price for it. He took care of the curse that the devil had against us, all of it, right? And he has taken it away.
Hallelujah.
He's taken it away. Yeah. So if any of you are, or any of us are dealing with any of these, hey, devil, Jesus took all of that away. Yeah. I've been redeemed. Yeah. So body, line up. So circumstances, line up. Whatever, line up. Household, line up. Okay? He nailed it to the cross. It's taken away. It's done. And having disarmed, I love this verse 15, and having disarmed the powers and authorities, he disarmed them, like he took the power out of them, right? Disarmed, like took out their weapons. They can't do anything anymore. They try, but a lot of it is just fluff, like to intimidate us, right? So he disarmed the powers and authorities. He made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross.
Hallelujah.
So we're on the winning side, guys, if I haven't made that clear. Yes. Thank you, Jesus, right? And Galatians 3:13 reinforces that and says, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. He did it,
yes.
Right? For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hung on a pole. He redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles. That's us. That's me. That's you. Through Christ Jesus, so that by faith we might receive the promise of the Spirit. Wow. We are so rich. So just say this with me. I've been redeemed.
I've been redeemed.
From the curse of the law. I am set free.
I am
forgiven.
I am free.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you,
Lord. You're so good. Thank you, Jesus. So I just pray, Father God, I pray, Lord, that you just bless us with this revelation. I just pray like it did for me, that it come alive in our hearts. And the seed that we are sowing, help us to sow good seed, to listen and take in good things that the Holy Spirit wants to bring revelation in our lives, wants to make alive so that we know without a doubt that is truth for us. And that we can live and activate and breathe and walk that truth out in our lives. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you that we've been redeemed. You took care of all of it. Our legal indebtedness is done. You nailed all of our sins to the cross. You took it away. Thank you, Jesus, that we've been redeemed from the curse of the law. Help us to live that truth this week. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Sarah. That was awesome, because that really fits with a little bit later in the service. We're going to have a baptism. So if you know that you've been redeemed and you've never been baptized, or you just maybe you strayed from Jesus and now you want to come back to him, this would be a good time to get in the water. So the water is cold. So I asked Tommy if he would help me, because all the adults don't want to get in the cold water. But I didn't really get a definitive answer from him. So anyway, bless you, everybody. Bless you on Facebook Live. We're glad to have you here. It's offering time.
Hallelujah.
But I just want to say, before we get into the offering, I just really felt this morning the healing presence of Jesus come into this place. Tonight, we're having a healing service with Alejandro Arias, evangelist from Australia. He's going to be ministering here at 6 o'clock. And so if you on Facebook Live want to come over and be a part of that meeting, you're welcome to do that. It'll be a really, really great time. Yesterday we had a leader's seminar with him, and wow, what a powerful move of the Holy Spirit at the end of the day before we went out and did some fellowship time. So I'm expecting, really, you will see miracles, you will see healings, you will see blessing of God. But if you're here in this place and you're on Facebook Live and you're having some issues in your body, the healing presence of Jesus is already in this place. So, Father, we thank you in Jesus' name for healing, wellness, and wholeness pain. I'm speaking to you in the mighty name of Jesus. You get out of these bodies now because they're healed by the stripes of Jesus. Thank you, Father, that Jesus was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. Chastisement of our peace was placed on him. And with his stripes, we were healed. So we declare it, Father God. We believe and receive it, Father. We thank you for manifesting it in our bodies. And we give you glory, honor, and praise because Jesus, you're the Lord. And you're coming back soon.
Yes.
We give you praise in Jesus' name, Father. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. So we want to receive our offerings this morning. We welcome you on Facebook Live. If you want to give today, you can go to mfhfw.org or .com, either one. And there's a donate page there. You can do it that way, or you can give by bill pay, or you can send a check, or however. There's some instructions there. In the service here, we'll be passing the collection, the plate. But in Galatians chapter 6, verse 6, it says, "Let him who is taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that will he also reap." This is a lesson that Paul taught in a number of different ways to the churches, the early churches in his ministry. He said, don't be deceived. God's not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. So I don't know of anybody, maybe some of you just don't need anything, but most of us have some needs and some things coming up and so forth and so on. So Paul is teaching the believers here that when you sow, you're also going to reap. It's going to come back to you. Jesus even said when in Luke 6:38, he said, "Give, and it will be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men pour into your lap." So, you know, most of the time, dollars don't rain out of heaven. Gold doesn't come out of heaven. Falling in your backyard. Occasionally, you might find a treasure somewhere, but that's usually not the norm. Usually, the treasure comes through the hands of people. And, God is a miraculous God. We were speaking with some of my friends in Cuba yesterday on my cell group, and they're having a really, really tough time down there because of COVID, but also because of the economic situation, and the currency laws are changing in the nation. So now, in order to get some specific kinds of goods, they have to use U.S. dollars. But how do you get U.S. dollars in Cuba? They don't print them there. So hopefully they're not printing any there. So what he was sharing with us is that when all of the COVID problems struck, he and his wife felt led that they needed to help some families that were really struggling. So out of their scarce resources of food, they began to give food away, chicken and rice and beans and things that they had to help families that had needs. And he said, you know, the amazing thing is we've always had enough for our family, even though we've been giving out, even though we've been sowing. So it's this principle that's going to work. Don't be deceived. God's not mocked. Whatever person sows, that he will also reap. So even in times of tremendous hardship and shortage and things like they're experiencing there, people who understand and know the principle of the Word of God can be blessed even in a time of hardship. So, you know, we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. We don't know what's going to happen after the election, before the election, through the election, and whatever. You know, everybody's talking about the election. But irrespective of what happens at any specific time, if you've got seed in the ground, you've got a harvest coming back, because that's what farmers do. They sow seed and harvest comes back. So it's not magic. It's just a principle. It's a principle of God's word. Then he said, for he who sows to the flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. So a lot of times, you know, we just sow to our own needs. You know, I need this, I want that, I want this other thing, and I'm going to get it. And sometimes we even borrow to get it. And sometimes we pay a price for a long time to pay for the things that we've gotten that way. But if you sow to the flesh, you'll reap corruption. You know, what's corruption? Corruption is multiplied, accelerated interest that you pay out for debt and other things. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. So there are things that have eternal value. One of them is the things that you sow, you're going to also reap. It'll bless you here and it'll bless you hereafter, because your life is a life that's pleasing to God. You're helping others. You're blessing others. You're being a part of the kingdom process of sowing and reaping. So I was just thinking this week, where did Paul learn this principle? Well, he learned it from the Bible, just like you and I have to learn things from the Bible. In Isaiah chapter 28, it says, "Listen to me, listen and pay close attention." This is verse 23. Verse 24, "Does a farmer always plow and never sow? Is he forever cultivating soil and never planting? Does he not finally plant his seeds, black cumin, wheat, barley, emmer wheat, each in its proper way and each in its proper place?" So what he's saying is farmers are smart enough to know how and what to sow. So what God is expecting of us as believers is to know how and what to sow and when to sow. So what's the key to that? The key to that is the Holy Spirit, isn't it? Because if you're listening to the Holy Spirit and he's prompting you in your giving, he's prompting you in your sowing, guess what he's thinking about? He's thinking about your future, because he knows that this principle works: whatever you sow, that you're also going to reap. So when you hear his voice and he's speaking to you, just obey his voice, because he's got your future in his heart. He wants to take care of you. He wants to bless you. Whatever you're going to go through in the future, things that you don't even know about, he's already taken care of, because he's prompted you in your heart to begin to sow. So this principle doesn't work just with money. This principle works with love. This principle works with relationships. This principle works with your job, your career, all kinds of other things. It's a principle. It's not a law. It's not a rule. If you don't want to sow, you can just not sow. A farmer that doesn't want to plant his field, he can just stay home and sleep, you know. But guess what? When harvest time comes and he's been sleeping during planting time, nothing's going to come up except weeds. And of course, there's some other aspects of the principle, you know, that go along with this about after you sow, there's some things you have to do and so forth and so on. But just trust God. The Bible says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths." He'll make your paths straight. So he's got a plan for you. Part of his plan is to be like a farmer, be wise, sow your seed, and obey his voice, listen to him. And as he prompts you, he'll bring you to blessing after blessing after blessing. Praise the Lord. Verse 26 says, "The farmer knows just what to do, for God has given him understanding. A heavy sledge is never used to thresh black cumin. Rather, it's beaten with a light stick. A threshing wheel is never rolled on cumin. Instead, it's beaten lightly with a flail. Grain for bread is easily crushed, so he doesn't keep pounding on it. He threshes it with wheels of the cart, but he doesn't pulverize it. The Lord of heaven's army is a wonderful teacher, and he gives the farmer that wisdom." So, Father, we just pray over this congregation, over those that are watching by Facebook Live, those on the podcast. We thank you, Father God, for imparting wisdom to our hearts today. As we sow the seed, as we bring our tithes, bring our offerings to you, we bless your name and honor you and thank you in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. So tonight we have a guest speaker. If you want to start giving towards being a blessing to him, you can also designate on your envelopes a portion of your offerings to him as well. We'll also be receiving an offering tonight for him to bless his evangelistic ministry across the nations. He's ministered in over 45 nations already. He's been preaching the gospel since he's 12 years old. Had an amazing, amazing healing when he was 12 of when he was 7, I think, or 8, of cancer. And God propelled him into the ministry as a young man, and he's been preaching these years. He's still a young guy, just a kid, you know. But what a powerful ministry. So don't miss it tonight. You on Facebook Live, don't miss it tonight. It's going to be a blessing. 6 o'clock here at MFH. Praise the Lord. So let's pray over our tithes and offerings. Has everybody had a chance to do the sowing? I'll give you another minute here. you're on Facebook Live, just hit that button and go to fmh.com. You can come here. It's okay. We're patient.
Okay.
So Miu had a really special blessing yesterday. For 21 days, she's been believing to find this person that she was looking for to minister to, because God showed her that she would find a certain person at a certain place on a certain condition. And yesterday, when we were walking on promenade, she found that person.
Amen.
And she ministered to him.
Specific time.
At a specific time, right? It was really awesome. All the things that God showed her, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, they were all there, right?
It's finally grow up.
Yes.
Seeded, sprouting.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise
the
Lord.
After 21 days.
Praise the Lord.
God promises good.
Amen. So, Father, we just bless these tithes and offerings. We thank you, Father, for ministering to those who have sown the seed. We thank you for an open heaven over us, as Sarah was talking about before. The heavens are not bronze because we're redeemed from the curse. So we thank you, Father, that it's good seed sown in good ground, Father, and we know that you're faithful to bring the harvest. So bless these that have given, those that have sown, Father God, those over Facebook Live and podcast. We thank you for blessing them and richly using them in your kingdom, Lord. And for it, we give you glory, honor, and praise. Thank you so much, Lord, for taking care of every need according to your riches in heaven. And everybody said,
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Okay, so now we have a special opportunity to listen to a young lady deliver her first sermon here, her first message here. She's not at all nervous, and God is going to use her in a mighty way. We've been talking about new wine and new wineskins. And so the whole month of October, we'll be ministering messages surrounding the vision of this church to reach the lost, to minister to people, to make disciples for Jesus. You know, the Great Commission says, go make disciples of all nations, and Fort Wayne is part of those nations. So we want to welcome Tanya to come and minister, and it's going to be great. So God bless you.
It's not a fire hose because I tend to do that. I can't help it. But I've prayed for deliberate slow speech so you can keep up. That's for my dad on Facebook. Anyways, welcome Facebook. Welcome podcast listeners. We thank you for coming, being faithful to join us at my Father's house. So we just ask the Lord, thank you, Jesus, for coming in and just ministering to the people through me today. The God of the universe has called for me to speak to you today. I am overwhelmed by that. I am humbled by that. But I have a message from him, and I'm going to bring it with power. So thank you, Jesus. Thank you for power. Thank you for boldness. Thank you for my calling. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Okay, here I took the first part. We're talking about new wineskins. What does that look like? It's our new mission outreach here at my Father's house for our city. God has been speaking to us about new wine since we started in this season of COVID. Actually, a little bit before, he was letting some of us know we're going to be doing something different. But when COVID hit and we had to stay home, I praise God for this time because we got to seek him. We got to spend extra time with him. We got to spend time with our families. We got to slow down. And God did some speaking to us here at my Father's house during that time. We have been praying and seeking the Holy Spirit, like I said, for about 9 months, about a year. And today, this month, we're going to be introducing our Engage team. Engage with the community, engage with God, and engage by making disciples. This is the Great Commission, as he said. It's three parts, one unified team. Three in one. Does that remind you of anything? God just showed me in rectangles on paper. Three in one. Praise God. It's a unity and a fellowship of our body to build the kingdom of God. He says you have to have unity and fellowship. You have to have it. It's the only way he works. He doesn't want anything to fall on anyone's shoulders. He doesn't want anybody to feel like they can do it all or they have to do it all.
Right.
It's unity and fellowship. We must be committed together and function as one with the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
When teams and gifts are working together effectively and accurately, they reproduce and multiply, which is what we want.
Right.
We don't want a bunch of Tanyas out there, but we want to reproduce and multiply Christians.
Yes.
Jesus followers.
Amen.
Jesus followers. More than just a Christian. Jesus followers.
Yeah, right.
We are walking out our mission statement here at my Father's house, which is go, equip, and love. It's right on your bulletin in case you forget those three. That has been their mission statement for 25 years this year. We're going to be celebrating that. So today we're going to talk about part one, the Go Team. Go, 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 go. God has put go in my heart for 5 years. And anybody knows me knows I've been going. My husband knows I've been going because I can't stop. Why? Because Jesus did something to me, and I'm going to explain that. So God is calling all of us to prepare his kingdom. He is returning soon. Does anybody else feel that?
Hallelujah.
Yes, he's coming. He's coming. We have to wake up and be ready.
Yes.
We have to be ready. He has asked us to do something before he returns. We may be prolonging it if we're not out there. He said, I need to have you out there before I return, so let's rise up.
Amen.
God's heart is calling out to the hurt and backslidden Christian right now.
Yeah.
Those who believe in him but are living in a broken place, unconnected from the source of help, Jesus. You know there's a lot of them out there. I was one of them. He is calling them to rise up and be ready to focus on his return. Why does he want to do that? Why is he asking that? Because he's trying to raise an army.
Yes.
He needs an army of strong Jesus followers that believe in him and are walking it out. That's us. I'm just calling it out for you. We are the bridge between the hurting and Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. We are to reconnect and plug them in.
Amen.
I love that thought.
Yeah.
Plug, socket, Jesus. Yeah, we have to rise up.
Right.
I mean, how can you sit here? There are people out there hurting. So I'm going to read from Ezekiel 37, 4 through 7. And I know a lot of you know this verse, these verses. But Jesus spoke to me as I was preparing this, and this is what he wants for you to hear. Then he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you, and you will come to life.
Amen.
I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you, and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord.
Amen.
Let that sit there for just a second while I go to the next one that I'm going to read. So the Lord has given us a promise there. He's given us a promise. And the Lauren Daigle song that we sang at the beginning, when I was listening to the radio doing dishes, it just hit me right in the spirit. That's it. That's the core of the message today. He said, as we sang, come alive.
Amen.
We call out to dry bones, come alive. We call out to dead hearts, come alive.
Yeah.
It is our part in this partnership with God. And we have to call out to them. Mm-hmm. He calls and asks us to partner with him. He's done so much, we just have to do a little part.
Right.
And he's called us to do this. So it is God's part to bring them up out of the ashes and breathe life. We need his spirit. We sang, breathe, a breath of God, now breathe. Beautiful as we sang it over and over and over. But do you realize that's his spirit that is breathing in and out of our lungs, out of their lungs as we speak to them. The air flows to them and goes through their lungs and brings them to life. They start seeing hope. They start feeling something different. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's only for that moment, and sometimes it's a day, and sometimes they follow you. So the Lord promises to bring life to the dead with his breath, the breath of the Holy Spirit. His fire in the wind of the Holy Spirit will ignite the dead, and an army will rise and begin to testify. Yeah, yeah. Because when they start telling other people what happened to them,
yes, amen.
They bring that spark of breath to someone else.
Yes, that's
right. Yes. So the Holy Spirit's words to me as I prepared this message was exactly this. This little part, I want you to listen carefully because I didn't know this was coming out. So I really want to point it out. These are the words of the Lord. Okay, very special right here. He said, we must go deeper in our engagement with the community. If we want to see this transformation take place, this supernatural rising from the dead, where an army will begin to seek Jesus and walk in surrendering obedience to him. Repentance and hunger will be refreshment to the broken and the lost. Oh my goodness, I about fainted. Whoa, that was good. I read it 3 or 4 times and said, whoa, I couldn't have wrote that. I could not have wrote that. The word refreshment is not one of my vocabulary words, not even when I have a good drink of water. But he said, refreshment to the broken and to the lost. Guys, that's us. He's saying that he can work through us and bring them refreshment.
Yes, amen.
Oh, I want that for people. I want that so much.
Yes.
So I'm going to tell you a little bit about, just a tiny piece about my history. In December of 2014, I had a shift of focus. I was sick and tired. And I can say that in this context, I was sick and tired of my own pain and struggling. I asked my kids to kneel with me to change my view. Something's got to change, kids. Will you kneel with me? And they did. They can tell you they did. They remember this moment. Praise God for that moment, because we, the three, we started my rescue that Jesus died for.
Amen.
I have been rescued.
Hallelujah.
I have been rescued. I have been redeemed by the curse of the law.
Yeah.
You too. You too, but this is my story. My turn. Okay, so the shift was huge. And I begin to ask, what are we doing here? What is our real purpose, God? Oh, you can ask my husband. I was constantly asking, what is my purpose now that I'm disabled? What is my purpose now that I'm depressed? What is my purpose? I can't go to work. What's my purpose? That was my word. It was that burning question in my heart. But I couldn't answer that for myself. The shift was huge, just huge. I was so caught up in me, myself, and I that I was totally distracted from the purpose that God created me for. Trying to ask the question, but spinning in circles. 25 years of distraction, to be honest. The enemy had me right where he wanted me, stagnant, lost, and hurting. Sister can tell you that. Cousin can tell you that. As my eyes shifted to outward and upward, there was a change. The Lord filled me with a hunger, and I began to learn and share with others. I began to grow.
Amen.
Like Mew said, the sprout started.
Yes.
I was 50 years old. The sprout started. It doesn't matter how old you are when your sprout starts. When it starts, look out.
Long as it starts.
Oh, finally. Yeah. So 6 months later, let me tell you, before that little seed started, I can tell you that my world looked like a pit. Not my physical world, honey, but my vision, my spiritual vision. I saw myself in mud, constantly scraping up the side and sliding back down. We know this. And so I was constantly reaching up for Jesus, but I couldn't see out. So when he shifted my focus, it was like I could see on top of the pit. And I could see others, and they needed something. Didn't know about it, how to handle that yet, but I could see others. So 6 months later, time to revive came to Fort Wayne, and I soon learned the answer to my burning question. What is my purpose? It is to walk and bless others and to bring the light of Jesus into a dark world. Wow. Jesus is the answer every time.
Amen.
Every time. No matter who you are or what's going on, Jesus is the answer. If you are willing, God will use you right where you are, tiny sprout. He will lead you and he will grow you. So in shifting my focus from myself and my struggles, Jesus showed me more. True transformation took place. As I grew, the junk left my heart and mind, and more of Jesus filled me up. As I surrendered to him and walked forward, blessings poured in. Healing happened mentally, emotionally, and then physically.
Amen.
Passion became a new word in my vocabulary. Woo! If you know me, passion is the word, and sometimes I'm like, ooh, do I have too much? In the physical world, they might call it bipolar or manic. They tried to call me that. No, that's passion. That's passion for Jesus, and he put it in me from day one.
Praise the Lord.
And it finally is out. So, okay, calm down. Jesus radically changed me, and I was willing to go and to share. Blessing others enriched my life so much. In obedience, I became committed to God, and God used me, which is something I always desired. From little girl on, always wanted to tell people about my Jesus. But I didn't have a lot to share when I was sitting in depression, did I? So it's unlocked. Thank you, Jesus. I can see how his plan to build the kingdom builds us. In hunger and humility, revival began in me. Guess what? It starts right here. It is not out there. We're not asking God to bring this and that. I mean, we are, but it starts with you. One person. You got to be called by him in your heart. And when that starts to happen, you go. So I share all of this with you today in telling you about our new wineskin, because I want all of you to be blessed and transformed as well. We can constantly be transforming and sanctified is the big Christian word for that. I learned that in the last 4 years. Constantly being transformed and sanctified in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Thank you,
Amen.
Jesus. When we shift our focus from me, myself, and I to him, her, and them, we become more like Jesus. I encourage you to take your eyes off your problems and stop letting the enemy distract you from your God-given purpose.
Amen.
I hope that didn't hurt.
Say that again.
I said, I encourage, that wasn't meant to be bad, but I encourage you to take your eyes off your problems and stop letting the enemy distract you from your God-given purpose.
Amen.
Because that's where he wants us sitting, guys. He wants us looking at all that crud.
Yes.
But we can do something about that, and I'll tell you right here. Jesus called us to come out of the darkness into his light, to be resurrected into a new creation, the one he intended for you to be. He will breathe his spirit into you and bring you to life, true life. True life. He will transform you to live above the struggles.
Yes.
We are above and not below. We are the head and not the tail. Yes. He will give you life that rises above the distractions. The distractions of Satan. That his little plan is deviated. It's gone. It's gone. When you can rise above it, Jesus gives you a real purpose. And the little stuff doesn't matter as much anymore. Doctor, who cares? So, I would like to read to you now from 2 Kings 4, 1 through 7. It's the widow's olive oil. The wife of a man from the company of the prophets cried out to Elisha, "Your servant, my husband, is dead, and you know that he revered the Lord. But now his creditor is coming to take my two boys as his slaves." Elisha replied to her, "How can I help you? Tell me, what do you have in your house?" "Your servant has nothing there at all," she said, "except a small jar of olive oil." Elisha said, "Go around and ask all your neighbors for empty jars. Don't ask for just a few. Then go inside and shut the door behind you and your sons. Pour the oil into all the jars, and as each is filled, put it to one side." So she left him and shut the door behind her and her sons. They brought the jars to her, and she kept pouring. When all the jars were full, she said to her son, "Bring me another one." But he replied, "There is not a jar left." Then the oil stopped flowing. She went and told the man of God, and he said, "Go, sell the oil, and pay your debts. You and your sons can live on what is left."
Praise the Lord.
Okay, the first thing I noticed in this, the widow was in distress.
Yes.
Oh, we can relate to that. The widow was in distress. Her sons were being taken away. Her life, her everything was being taken away. But what did she do? She turned to the man of God. She turned to God. And what did she find? She found compassion. He had compassion on her, and he wanted to help her. He asked her, what did she have to work with? Okay, what do we have? What do we have here? Not much.
Amen.
Only a small jar of oil. That's all she had left. You know, God said, we can work with that. Elisha gave her some instructions. He said, go around and ask all your neighbors for empty jars. Don't ask for just a few. The New Living Translation says, borrow as many empty jars as you can from friends and neighbors. So Elisha made this woman commit herself in faith to God's provision. Borrowing in this manner must have been awkward. There must have been a lot of questions. What are you going to do with those jars? Well, how many do you need? When are you going to return it? Seriously, you know that, right? But she had to lower her pride. She had to be in a position of humility to get this miracle. She couldn't just stand there and wait for it. 25 years. That was me. 25 years waiting. She had to do something. That speaks to me right now. She did as she was commanded in faith. She was obedient and she walked forward. It was her part in this supernatural miracle. I'm a miracle. Thank you, Jesus.
Yeah, hallelujah.
God takes care to deliver his servants in ways that exercises their faith.
Yes.
He would not have us be of little faith, because faith is the wealth of heavenly life. Oh, I don't know where that came from, but God wrote that. It was so good. We have God in the measure that we desire him. So lazily wishing and strenuously desiring are two different postures of your mind. One gets nothing. The other gets everything of God and all he brings. I want this side. I want all. So in verse 5, we see the supernatural take place. God provided oil for as many jars as she had. It says she left him and shut the door behind her and her sons. She blocked out all disbelief, all unbelief, all doubt. And she walked in her purpose.
Amen.
They brought the jars to her and she kept pouring. When all the jars were full, she said to her son, "Bring me another one." But he replied, "There is not a jar left." And then the oil stop flowing. So God richly provided for her and her sons. He was willing to continue to pour out his blessings on that family. Only when they ran out of jars did the blessing stop. God's provision was as large as their faith and willingness to obey. Man, this story is awesome. The number of jars gathered indicated their faith level. Imagine if they would have gone into the next community to borrow more. How many more could she have gotten? Do you suppose people were watching her family to see what God would do? With all their nagging questions, do you think they were watching to see if something would happen with all this borrowing? I think so. So faith must have arisen in the others during this miracle. Some inkling, some wanting to know, something in them wanted to see what was going to happen. You have your naysayers, but the others were like, what's happening here?
Right.
Something was going on. Something was stirring. So how many jars would your faith have gathered? Would you have gone to 2 houses, 4 houses, 6 neighborhoods over the whole country? Cuba? Hi, Cuba. Would you have done that? I mean, it was really up to her how far she wanted to take this. That spoke a lot to me. A lot to me. So it says, wait a minute. How many jars would your faith have gathered? I wanted to beware you here. Beware of limiting God's provision and favor over your life. There's a beware there. I need to put that in. Ephesians 3:20 says, God is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask and imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. Mm-hmm. So the power is in here. It's not us. It's just the walk, the go, the one step. Take it. Verse 7, she went and told the man of God, and he said, go sell the oil and pay your debt. You and your sons can live on what is left. Elisha directed her how to use this miracle. She was not to keep it all for her own use. We must give away the power God provides us to make the kingdom rich. We cannot keep it. We'll be stagnant. You get it and you lose it. You get it. Oh, darn it. No, we have to give it away. So God uses us right where we are and with what we have available. I want to re-say that because it really is just what you have right now and then start.
Amen.
So, and it takes us deeper if we're willing. He takes us deeper if we're willing. He used what the woman had. She had the only thing left, and he provided a miracle. I want a miracle. As we move forward in our outreach plans, we have asked God how to prepare for the outpouring of his Spirit. We believe he has asked us to prepare new vessels.
Amen.
All of you. That's you. That's you. You can say, I'm the vessel.
I'm the vessel.
Say it again. I'm the vessel. Facebook, podcast, you're not by yourself. Somebody's watching. Speak it out. You are the vessel. To gather our body together in unity and fellowship. That's what God's asking us to do right here. This is our church. This is what he's asking us at this church.
Amen.
And we can only be responsible for our church. So we're doing that. All right? To be assembled as one team moving in one direction. We should not see the beginning of Tanya and the end of Cheryl and into Donna. It should just be flowing as one movement of oil. One movement of anointed oil. 3 parts, 1 body. We believe everyone in MFH plays a part on this team.
Yes.
We need all giftings given to this church to function together.
Amen.
And we have a lot of them here. To accomplish the goal for his kingdom. We recently started studying in the book, Gifts and Ministries of the Holy Spirit. Our goal is to be walking out those giftings that we're learning about, to actually see God's hand in all of this, because we'll be doing it together. How exciting it will be when we all begin to function in the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Not just read, but function. Let's be practical. Let's get out there and be practical. Everybody get your walking shoes on. I got mine. How exciting. Oh, I already read that. All right. We will see a supernatural move of God in this city.
Amen.
And that will go to the next city, the next country, you know, so on and so on, because we're going to reproduce and multiply.
Yes.
That's what Jesus asked. You don't know who that one person that she talked to yesterday could be, somebody that's going to another country and going to catch it on fire.
Yes.
You don't know the Holy Spirit's plan. You just have to be faithful to your part. And we do it together. No one has to be on spot. An army will be raised.
Amen.
We need to empty our vessels of ourselves and get into position to be used as his new wineskin.
Yes.
You know, the army can be standing up here all ready to go. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I can see it. What a difference we can make together. So as the Lord is working on in this season of COVID, because he is, he's over it. I believe I'm over it. I'll just add that part. I'm over it. I believe he is stirring and shaking believers to dig deeper into their relationship with him. You know, if the churches are closed, then get in with him, because that's where it's at anyways. It's not about being in this building, but it is being about being with him. He's the only one. So he is desiring his children to partner with him. And he is building his army to walk out this last season before he returns. We're in it. We are in it. This is so exciting. He has called us for this time. When I think about that, I am so excited. He called me for this time. And you get to be with me, and you get to be with me. Praise God. Praise the Lord. So in his promise in Joel 2, 28 and 29, I know these are popular verses, but you really need to hear this now. It's coming to pass. I will pour out my spirit on all people.
Yes.
Okay, that's all. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women. Here's the promise. I will pour out my spirit in those days. That was, I don't know how long ago, years, thousands, backwards. But he said that about you and me. That's us.
Yes.
Grab it.
Yes.
Talk about a key to the kingdom. Psh, there it is. He gave us that. And then we go forward into Acts. And it says in 4:29 through 30, Lord, enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. This is why I knew I had boldness today, because he said it right here. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform miraculous signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant, Jesus.
Yes, yes, yes.
Do you want that anointing?
Yes, yes, yes.
I do. Are you a prepared vessel? Do you need to get prepared? Yeah. So what does this new wineskin look like for you? I know that's a practical question we need to be asking. I want you to ask the Holy Spirit, where am I to serve? Not when or how, but where? Where am I to serve? Ask him, am I a go person? That's me, my team. Are you a prayer person? Or Lord, do you simply want me to share my life with another, guiding them to your word, pointing them to you? Discipleship. Ask him if you are to be on one part of the team. Two parts of the team. Come on now. Three parts. How many jars you got? Seriously. When he starts moving you, you end up with all three parts. Trust me. You do. Because you can pray on the go. And you can take your disciple with you. Yes. Come on. Come on, people. We're going to have a whole army out there. Yes. So depending on your availability, of course, I'm not like trying to make you be like me. But I'm just saying, ask my husband. It's really ramping up. But don't limit yourself from God's precious anointing in your life or someone else's, because you don't know who's coming. 21 days, God was calling her to that person, and she kept looking because he showed her everything. And even though we were out functioning as our own body, she broke away and did that because that's what God called her to do. We need to do that. Put our life on hold for a minute just to bring someone else into the kingdom. Praise God. Shift your focus and ask God. He will be delighted.
Amen.
Absolutely. Me too. The harvest is plentiful now. Just look around you outside and you see those fields. That's God's picture of us right now. He is ready to bring the sickle and the plow and whatever, combine. I live in the farm. You think I'd see it. The combine. Get out there. Bring down that harvest. He's ready. He's ready to come back. He's tired of watching his kids be in pain. He's sick of hearing the crying out. He wants you to come home. He wants all children to come home. God is asking you to be willing wherever you are. Just take that step. He is faithful and he will carry his mission. It's not me. It's not Pastor Harley. It is God.
Amen. That's right.
So revival comes from a hunger in your heart and a willingness to humble yourself before the Lord.
Yeah.
It is what you do with the word of God. Mm-hmm. The verb, do, walk, go, action, go, 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 go. Oh, sorry. That can bring revival. God has already done his part. Now we need to do ours. Amen. He's waiting on us. Mm-hmm. Rise up, church, rise up. Yes. I hate to say that all the time, but oh, come on, join me. I love this adventure that God has me on. With the Holy Spirit, I see myself as an Old Testament priest carrying eternal fire. I see myself as a scout out looking through the promised land. I am a warrior taking on giants.
Amen.
I am a prophet speaking to the lost children.
Yes.
I am like the widow gathering jars to receive the goodness of the Lord. I want more anointing from the Holy Spirit to catch others on fire as well. I see the footprints of Jesus Christ, and I am following in them.
Mm-hmm.
Will you join me in walking this out?
Amen.
Recruiter. I just feel like that. I am the go coordinator for this part of the Engage team. If you feel the Holy Spirit guiding you to walk in this direction, please let me know. I'll talk you into it. I'm a salesperson. Just take a step. I will notify you of our planned Engage times, and you can check your availability.
Amen.
Your willingness, your humbleness, your surrender, your obedience. Oh, we've said all those words. As we gather in unity, the Holy Spirit will be faithful,
yes,
to pour out anointing and giftings over our whole team.
Yes.
Our whole team. We will go out, we will pray, and we will see fruit that remains. I love that I just figured that out yesterday, that it remains.
Amen.
I've been chasing fruit that's withering, but the remaining fruit, I see it. All right. My time is almost over. You're going to stand up and applaud me. He will give us visions and dreams to prophesy over the blind, the hurt, the lost, and the dead. Bringing life to his children and building his kingdom. I challenge you, dip your toe in and see what the Lord will do. But watch out, your adventure will begin as your life changes in him.
Yes.
You may see yourself as all these things too.
Yes.
So, Father, we just thank you. We thank you for this message that was spoken today through me. I am very humbled that you used me today. I thank you for my family and friends that support me here at home and at this church. I thank you, God, that you're rising me up to be a great warrior in your kingdom. And I encourage everyone to join me in this army for you. I thank you, God, because it's your heart. It's your heart that pours out over people. I thank you, Jesus, that you're showing us the way for your new wine, for your anointing that's going to just cover us and our city. We praise you, God, that you are in control over COVID. You are in control over the next thing that happens and the next thing and the next things. I promise, God, not to be distracted. I will be on focus. I will be called and I will be moving in your direction. We will be moving. We will never stay in one spot. We're going to go with you, Holy Spirit. So we thank you for all our Facebook friends, our podcast listeners, and all of these people here today. I encourage you to bring one person with you the next time. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to this episode of My Father's House podcast. We hope you'll subscribe to hear our latest updates. My Father's House is a non-denominational Christian church located at 5712 Bass Road in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We invite you to visit us by checking schedule information at mfhfw.org. At our website, you can also support the work of My Father's House with your tax-deductible donation. We pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers.